Welcome back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Here are your hosts, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line the director of the Ingham County Animal Control, Heidi Williams. Welcome back to the show, Heidi.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you on. I just wish that, well, actually, most of the time we have had you, it's been okay circumstances.
Yeah.
But I don't like the circumstances around this one, Heidi, because I hate reading stories about people having to have their animals seized because they're hoarding. That's a horrible story. Why does it keep happening?
Yeah, unfortunately it does, and I think it happens more in our community than what anybody really realizes, too. I think hoarding a lot of times, I think people have good intentions when they start to collect animals or rescue animals, but I think oftentimes it spirals out of control quicker than what they realize. And again, I don't think people are evil. I don't think they have evil intent when they start to save animals, but I think sometimes they do get in over their heads, and then by the time they realize it, it's too late. I don't believe that this case was a hoarding case per se, but I will just make one statement just off the bat that this is an ongoing criminal investigation, so I really can't talk about a lot of specifics of the case, but I can talk about some generalities. So I hope your audience understands that.
Well, for the audience that hasn't even, had a chance to read the paper, we live in a different world right now where the paper doesn't show up at most people's door, and maybe they hadn't heard it in local news. Can you at least bring us up to date as to what the actual case is that we're referring to and
sure.
How many animals are involved and where you're at with the case?
Yeah, you bet. So last Friday, October 30th, we received an anonymous tip for a welfare check on some dogs in the 5600 block of Marsh Road in Hazlitt. Officers responded, and they were able to see through the window of the house that, yes, it was definitely a welfare issue. So they obtained a search warrant for the residence. While they were waiting, they heard some additional dogs barking next door and walked over and discovered that the same exact instance was happening at the house directly next door. Then we discovered that the two houses are related. So in total, there were 22 adult dogs and 10 puppies that were seized from the two houses. They definitely were being kept in the only way I can describe it is deplorable conditions. No animal should be forced to live in what these dogs were living in. Despite that, they're relatively healthy. There are some medical issues with them, but by and large, they're in better shape than they probably should be for being in that kind of condition. So the dogs have been with us for almost a week now, and we're treating them and making sure that they're warm and they're safe and they're fed and their medical needs are being addressed. And we're pursuing possible criminal charges against the owners.
And these are animals that, depending on the court proceedings, you'll hold on to them, and it's possible that they'll need to find homes elsewhere?
Would that be fair enough? It's possible, yes. Yep. So a lot of this just has to play out in the court system. But once these dogs are available for adoption, the community will be made aware of that, and we'll do our best to get them into good, safe, loving, permanent homes.
Now, with that many animals, what's your capacity at the new facility? How is this impinged on your new facility? And can you continue to operate like you have been?
Yeah, so it definitely, bringing 32 dogs in definitely put a strain on our system. I've set our capacity at the shelter for 125 animals, and that's not necessarily based on the amount of space we have in the facility. It's more based on the number of caregivers we have that can provide care for the animals. So we try to devote 15 minutes of care per day per animal, which is an industry standard that we try to follow. And sometimes we're able to do that. Sometimes we're able to do more. Sometimes we're able to do just a little bit less. Bringing these dogs definitely has been a bit of a logistical issue for us, but we're managing. Everybody's been taken very well care of, and food was an issue. We put out a cry for help with food, and the community blew me away yet again. I shouldn't be surprised because this community is amazing, but we have had thousands of pounds of food donated to us for these dogs' care.
Wow.
And some local rescues have also stepped up and donated food and different supplies and things like that. So we're really fortunate that, you know, the community support has been there. People have been donating money, and we've been getting a lot of phone calls from people wanting to know if we need fosters. And so it's been really great to see that.
Now, Heidi,
it sounds like this. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Heidi, it sounds like because of the number of puppies, were they breeding these animals for the purpose of selling them? Or was this just a result of too many animals in too close a proximity and not being properly spayed and neutered?
We believe they were being bred to sell.
Now, were they of a certain breed, or were they mixed breeds?
They're all one breed. Yeah, they're all one breed. Okay. So,
and tell me, so we kind of maybe talked a little bit about hoarding, and you made reference to this situation may not necessarily fit the classical definition of hoarding, but definitely goes down the rails of inhumane treatment.
Inadequate care. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Without a doubt.
So with inadequate care, not this specific case, although, you know, obviously it might apply, but what are the things you look for that tends to reflect inadequate care? And I'm thinking of that from the perspective of maybe having the difference between nosy neighbors and neighbors that care. You know, sharing with you information that gets animals back to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what you're looking for?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, not getting into the specifics of this case, but other cases that we've had that are similar to this, in the past, you know, once neighbors have realized that this is what was going on at addresses, they're like, oh, well, now that makes sense, because there were, you know, people coming and going from the houses, and we would see dogs outside every once in a while, but always hear a lot of barking, and there was an odor, or, you know, things like this. And sometimes people don't want to get involved. They don't want to be the nosy neighbor, so to speak. But we really encourage people that if you see anything suspicious involving animals that you're just not sure of, just give us a call. That's what we're here for. We have officers readily available to go out and investigate, and they know exactly what they're looking for and what is against the law and what is legal. And, you know, for the animals' welfare, for the voiceless, it's our responsibility to step up and be their voice and ask for help. So even if you're not really sure, it's not a big deal. Just give us a call. We have an anonymous tip line. We have an email that people can use. It's reportanimalcruelty@ingham.org. Send us an email. We will definitely look into things.
And I have noticed that, you know, from past conversations that we've had and what kind of conversations I've had with your officers, the approach generally, if you're calling on a neighbor and you don't know for sure that anything wrong is going on, it's not like they're going to come in with a strip search, but they're going to be looking for signs that... that you described, right? And they're going to just be friendly officers otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not going to be kicking the door down and taking people to jail. We, you know, our officers are very good at taking a measured approach and fair and equitable treatment for everybody and making sure that no one's rights are being violated, but that the animals are being looked out for. You know, things that they're going to look for is making sure that the animals have adequate shelter, making sure that their living conditions are appropriate. An animal should be able to escape its feces and be able to get to a clean area. They should have clean water. They should have adequate food. They should be in a temperature, adequate temperature, or at least have shelter from the elements. So there's lots of different things that we look for in accordance with the law that maybe, you know, your average person would not realize.
Now, Heidi...
I imagine some document... Go ahead. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, I was going to ask the question, Heidi, is there a certain number at which point it sort of ceases to be pet keeping and it sort of becomes hoarding. I mean, we were talking earlier about some issues relating to other types of animals, but what is the right number of dogs before it becomes kind of a hoarding situation in your mind?
Well, you know, I don't think you can really set a solid number on it. Individual municipalities do have different numbers of dogs or cats that they allow, and those are individual municipality issues, not a state law issue, which is what we're enforcing in the county dog ordinance. In my opinion, I mean, if you can adequately care for the animals in your custody, then you're fine. It's when you're not able to adequately care for them, making sure that they have shelter, food, water, attention, veterinary care, you know, things like that. That's, to me, when it becomes more of a hoarding issue, when you're collecting animals, when you're not, you know, again, when you're just not able to provide for their care.
Now, one thing that I was thinking about, you were mentioning in this situation, it was like inadequate care, but you kind of differentiated about from hoarding. And one thing I think about is the psychological intent when somebody gets into this. These people may have very well had the intent of maybe breeding to have certain numbers, but others do get into keeping of pets kind of more from a psychological need and irrational thought as to, you know, what they have to do to save these animals. Does that kind of more center around what a hoarding scenario tends to be?
If you're talking about a true hoarding scenario, they typically start out as people wanting to do good. They're trying. It's your local family that's trying to save the community cats in their neighborhood, as an example, and they start bringing them into their home. And at first, they do a really good job of getting them spayed and neutered, but then they just have more and more, and they have a couple litters of kittens, and then they can't place the kittens, and then they, well, we're going to keep them because we know we love them. And being able to adequately care for an animal goes well above loving them and wanting to do the right thing. Animals are expensive. We all know that. And more you have, the more money you're shelling out, and, you know, the more veterinary bills are, and the food bills, and the training, and everything that goes along with having an animal. And people just, again, I think they start from a point of good, and it just spirals out of control a lot of times. They think they're doing good because they love the animals, but they're not providing for their basic needs. So really they are harming the animals in the long run. But I do think there's a certain amount of mental illness that goes along with a lot of hoarding cases that we see.
Now, Heidi...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Rick.
Well, one thing that kind of like goes along with that, but isn't, you know, specifically hoarding, but we're going through a strange time now with COVID, and maybe due to the social outreach financially that's been around, people haven't been in dire straits to any great extent. I apologize for any of those who have found themselves without a job and any financial resources. But if that hasn't happened, it certainly could happen in the future. What are you seeing at your facility, and are there signs of those stressors? Or what advice can you be giving to those that are out there right now that either have or will or may or don't know they will be experiencing hard times in the future? What's out there?
Yeah, so that was one of my big concerns with COVID hit was, we had this huge uptick in adoptions from the shelter, which is awesome. But in the back of my head, I kept wondering, when is the bottom going to fall out on this? If people go back to work and, A, they don't have time, or they've adopted an animal, then they lose their job and they can't feed it anymore. Are we going to wind up seeing a lot of these animals come back to the shelter? And I'm happy to report that so far we haven't seen that. But there is definitely a big need in the community for, you know, food and litter and veterinary care, which is why we continue to run our community food banks, where we provide free dog food, and cat litter. And I'd like to give a shout out to Proust Pets because they partner with us and give us at cost a lot of the food that we wind up donating to the community through volunteer donations. And then the other thing is our community vaccination clinics that we run and our low-cost spay and neuter vouchers. We try to recognize that, you know, having economic hardships and financial difficulties should not be a barrier to having pets in your life, because pets can be such an enjoyable part of life. And just because you can't afford a rabies vaccination for your dog doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't own a dog. So we try to be aware of that, and that's why we have these programs. And, you know, the food bank programs, we really thought would kind of trickle off. they're not. We're actually serving more residents than we ever have before.
Heidi?
And yeah.
Heidi, I need to jump in. We need to take a quick break, but we'll come back and finish that thought after the break. We're talking with Heidi Williams, Director of Ingham County Animal Control, and she'll be back right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. Upload your pet's picture or check out the silly pet photos that we put up there to get you through your day.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs.